Good morning, guys. For the ones that know me, know that this is not my place. Being in front of a crowd is just not my place. But I have to get up here. And the reason I do, we don't know what God, we just don't know what's in store. We have no idea. We don't know why he does some things and why he does other things. We just don't know. But I can tell you right now, I'm going to climb up here a little bit. I can tell you now that I've seen the hand of God move. I've seen it move mightily, guys. Thank you, Lord. My brother had COVID and developed lung disease. And during this period of time, the lungs got so bad that he had to have a transplant. The lungs got so bad he had to have a transplant. So anyway, long story short, he got on the transplant list at Duke University. He went down July-ish. I got some notes, but I had to put my glasses on for those. He went down July-ish, started some pulmonary treatments. August the 9th, hospital called, said, we have a set of lungs. Said, we're going to check them out. We'll let you know in a little while whether we want you to come or not. So anyway, they called back a little bit later with a little bit of disappointment. These lungs are not good. They're not your lungs. So anyway, he continues these pulmonary treatments. It's getting harder and harder on him. So August 18th, fast forward, Thursday, he gets up and he's like, I can't do these pulmonary treatments today. I just don't have the energy anymore. A couple hours later, hospital calls. Got you a set of lungs and they're good. Come on down. 4 o'clock Thursday on the 18th, 4 o'clock, they started surgery on him. 1:15 a.m., they finished surgery on the 18th. They declared the surgery a total success. By 10 o'clock that morning, they pulled the ventilator out. By 1:30 that afternoon, he was walking the hallways. Walking the hallways, guys. Oh, God is so good, so good. So things are going really, really well. They take the machines off of him. Tuesday morning, he's sitting in bed eating. Tuesday afternoon, something goes wrong. They don't know what went wrong because they have no machines on him to find out what happened. So they start doing all these tests and all and trying to find out what happened here. No responses whatsoever, right? So they declared that he had catastrophic strokes, multiple catastrophic strokes, and that they think maybe some blood clots from his heart went to his brain, right? We had no motion, no activity, nothing. So then, a little later, they declared him brain dead. You know, he's an organ donor, right? So he called in the family. So last Sunday morning, I wasn't here. I was at the hospital with him, praying over him. Charlie, the song, Dry Bones, Hear the Word of the Lord. I was singing that over him, prophesying it over him. Dry Bones, Hear the Word of the Lord. Live, Tommy, live. Being a organ transplant donor, they prepare your body for this. So Wednesday, I get this call. We're going to start taking blood. We're going to take his organs tomorrow morning, right? So the family, we all rush to the hospital again, right? And so we're all there. They've already, the organ transplant team's amazing, by the way, but they've already done the handprint of him. They've already created all the things for the children, and we're to come down and we're to walk with him as they take him in the operating room to pull his organs out. So I get to the hospital Thursday morning. It's about 12:30 Thursday afternoon, and immediately they allowed me to go up. So I walk in his room, and his wife's sitting there, and she's holding his hand, and sadness in the room. And I'm sad, and I got tears running down my face. You know, it's my older brother. We've been together 60-some years, you know? So anyway, I go in there. I walk over to the bed. I lay my hand on his left shoulder. I said, hey, brother, I'm here. And when I did, he moved his right hand. It moved. So anyway, his wife just like, this is unreal. He hasn't moved at all. This is unreal. She said, God is in the house. And she went running out and found a nurse. They came back in and confirmed the movement. She went running out, found a doctor that came back in and confirmed the movement. Needless to say, the organ donation was put off at that point. So anyway, you know, God has some special timing. We don't know why, guys. We don't know what his things are. I was riding down the road, and I'm like, God, help me. Help me to understand this. He just had a transplant. He got 19-year-old lungs. 19-year-old lungs. Why are we where we're at here right now? And I rode by a church, and they had a sign that said, "My grace is sufficient." I'm like, thank you, Lord. That's all I needed. Thank you, Lord. So anyway, so Thursday, we're just prophesying over him, praying over him. And he's, you know, he's moving his hand a little bit, but it's like he don't have any emotion anywhere else. His eyes are opening some, but his eyes are rolled back in his head, right? So anyway, we're praying over him. We're singing over him. They shut us down now to 2 people in the room instead of 4, which has made it a little bit more difficult for all of us because we like together in a group, you know. When we call in the Holy Spirit, we want to be in a group, you know. So anyway, he's continued to progress a little bit. And so finally, Friday morning, the doctors came around, did their rounds, and declared him not brain dead. Friday morning. So anyway, praise God. Praise God. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. So yesterday evening, he started moving both of his feet. They did a test on him. He started coughing. He's got reflexes. He's now eyes wide open, following people around the room. When they talk to him, his mouth is moving. He's got a ventilator down him, but his mouth is moving, trying to talk back to us. I tell you, the power of God is real, guys. It's real. Oh, my, my, my. This morning, they're putting a trach in. We were praying that that ventilator would just have to go today. They're putting a trach in this morning, but I expect that ventilator to be gone in no time. I don't know what God's plans are here. Tommy's a pastor of a church up above Green Hill. I don't know what his plans are, but they're big. They're big, guys. God is real. He's in charge. He's on time. I mean, the thing is, I can't even do my pulmonary. The lungs are ready. Let's take him down to take his organs out. Oh, no, I got something else for him, God says. It's just amazing, guys. It's amazing. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Somebody say he's an awesome God. Yes, he is. I'll tell you, God is good. And all the time he is good. I'll tell you, the realness of God, you know, it's just amazing what God is doing to confound the wise and the doctors that probably scratching their head and wonder what happened here. But God. Amen? So I just want to share with you this morning. So glad to have Pastor Terry and Miss Brenda back with us. And I just wanted to share some things with you today, you know. And what I want to share with you today that, and I want to share some things that God has been dealing with my heart about, is that he didn't come to bring a religion, but a relationship. Amen. And sometimes we think that it's a religion, but it's not a religion, it's a relationship. You know, there is a difference. You know, religion would say God can't do that. But a person that's in a relationship says God can and God will. Okay? You know, and the difference is it's a personal relationship that God wants to have with us. You know, and God wanted it so bad to where generation after generation, he was progressively pursuing humanity. You know, if you go back and trace the Old Testament, you know, God was pursuing humanity all along. He had a plan. You know, and the plan was that the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And that lamb represent the sacrifice that Jesus was going to end everything. He was going to complete it at the cross. But through all the generations, God's plan was to redeem man back unto himself. And out of that redeeming man back to himself, God wanted a relationship. He didn't want a religion. He wanted a relationship. And people will say, well, what's the difference in a religion and a relationship? I want to share this with you. A religion is knowing about God and trying to work your way to please God. Okay? But a relationship is having faith in what God said about the relationship and began to have faith to operate in it. Not by works. Because Paul said it's not by works lest any man should boast. But it is the gift of God. And God gave it to us as a gift. See, you know, we don't have to work for it. We don't have to plead for it. We don't have to offer up lambs for it. We don't have to slaughter the bulls for it. All we have to do is believe what Jesus Christ said at the end. When he said, it is finished. What he was really saying, I have completed everything the Father has assigned for me to do to buy back humanity. Amen. To buy us back unto God. And when Paul was talking in the gospel, in his gospel, in 2 Corinthians 5, and we follow the scripture, you know, when Paul said that, you know, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. But he goes on to say, but it was God in Christ. It was God in Christ reconciling us unto himself. Amen. See, God's plan is for us to know him. Yeah. Not just a religion, but really get to know him. Okay? And what I want to share with you today is he didn't come to bring a religion, but he came to bring a relationship. See, religion could be, you know, just doing a bunch of things to try to appease God, you know. But I mean, you know, nothing we can do that will cause God to love us more than he's already loved us. There's nothing we can do. And you say, well, I can feed the hungry. We can do this and we can do that. Oh, that's good. But that's no indication that you know God. Okay? And I'm not saying this to embarrass or make you think you don't know God. If you know him, we know him. If you don't, we don't. But how many know the opportunity to get to know him is free? It's free. And God wants you to know him. God wanted us to know him so much to where the Bible says in John 16, we know this by heart, that God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but verse 17. See, we kind of pause in verse 17, but verse 17 is very important because he said he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. But men love darkness instead of light. You know, they don't want to change and accept what God did for them. Let's look at St. John for a second. I want to read this to you because it's important where we're going with this. St. John 3 and 17, okay? It says, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world. And I'm reading from the New American Standard. There's another translation that says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Okay, but mine, the New American Standard reads that, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, that their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, for fear that their deeds would be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. So what that really tells us is this. People are not going to hell because of sin. People go to hell because they reject the message that Jesus has come to bring light, but they love darkness, their evil deeds. You say, well, now they're going, no, Jesus paid for sin. See, he paid for sin. He was judged instead of us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, I believe it is, that he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid the price for sin. So people don't go to hell because of their sin, because Jesus has taken care of the sin problem. The problem is that they reject the message of Jesus Christ, the love that the Father sent for them not to go to hell. See, hell really was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his demons. But what was created for us was what? Righteousness. See, Jesus came and brought righteousness to us. And what we have to understand is that God didn't send Jesus to bring a religion or another religion. He sent Jesus to bring back what? A relationship with God. See, that's good news to me. I don't know about you. Amen? So, you know, but we use hell in a way to try to get people fearful enough to get saved. I mean, you know, that ain't going to work either. Because once it ain't happened in a while, they get bold enough to say, well, it ain't happened, so I'm going to go back. But when you have a relationship with God himself, I'm not talking about just any relationship. I'm talking about a relationship with Elohim, the Jehovah God. Amen? Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, that paid the price for you and I to have a relationship with God. Amen? So, but that relationship is based on, do you know him? Do you know him? See, there are two Greek words for know. There's other words and different translations for know, but there are two Greek words that I want to share with you today about knowing or know, okay? One of them is odai, which means to have knowledge of. It's great that we have knowledge of, you know, of God, but just because I have knowledge of God don't mean that I know God. See, that know, what it means is to know by knowledge, or to have knowledge of, okay? I have knowledge of, when I was a little boy, I had knowledge of God. I looked at the trees and I knew God created those. The birds flying in the air, God created those. You know, looking at the universe, God created all these things, but I didn't know him. See, but there's another word in the Greek that's called gnosko. Gnosko. Okay? Gnosko. All right? And what this word really means is to know by experience. To know by experience. You say, what you mean by experience? Have you experienced God? Eddie just experienced God. You say, well, how did he experience God? Because couldn't nobody else raise his brother up but God. See, the doctors that did all that, we don't dispel what the doctors can do. We don't do away with what the doctors can do. But there is a greater doctor than mankind, and his name is Jesus Christ. See, had they not known God, they wouldn't have known to do what? Prophesy to the brother. Pray for the brother. Believe God for the brother. Why? Because they have had a relationship with God, and they know that they know that they know that God is a healer. If God don't raise him up, he still is a healer. Amen? But you don't get that way just by knowing about him. There has to be a relationship. And this is a thing that I want to share with you today is the gnosos, what it really means is it indicates a relationship between the person knowing and the object known. The person that know. See, remember in the book of Daniel, there was a lot of chaotic stuff going on, and the word of God came and it said, they that know their God will display strength. Amen. And do exploits, take action. See, they were living in a time that all these false gods was trying to write God off. Even stole all the temple, the gold and stuff, the vessels and stuff, and they put it in their little chamber with their god, Dagon, amen? And when they put him in there, they came back. He had failed on his face. They raised him up, he fall again. So he began to crumble. So they realized there is something about the God of the Hebrews. This is a bad dude. Well, excuse me for that. This is a bad God. Why? He don't even be saying nothing, he be doing things. Amen? Now watch this, because what happened was is God wants you to know him. And I'm going to give you some scripture on that, but let me just share a little bit more about this. In respect, what is known, it is a value of importance to one who knows, and hence to establish a relationship. See, God wants to establish a relationship with you so that when you go through anything in planet Earth, you know that God is with you. See, that's what God want to do for us, and that's what Jesus come to give us, is a relationship. But see, if we don't have that relationship, many of times we blame God for stuff that God is not doing. And we want God to do stuff that God is not obligated to do. Why? Because you're not his. But when you become born again, you don't repent of your sins, and you become born again, the Bible says when Jesus was teaching, he said, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Now the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, we got to change the way we think. And I want you to know, it's not a work that we have to do, but it's a belief that we must develop. Okay? So the word is that the word that we're using today, when I read the scriptures to you, is the word gnoso. And what does it mean? To know by experience. Okay? See, it's one thing to say that God is all powerful, but it's another thing to know that he's all powerful. Okay? It's one thing to say that God is always present and for you to know that he's present. See, this is what we get. See, the Hebrews, their culture was shaped because they believed in a true and living God. This is why they were so strong in faith to when Moses sent them out to spy out the land. There were only two that really had connected with God, Joshua and Caleb.
But the other eight didn't see what Joshua and Caleb saw. Why? Because they were of another spirit. See, when you know God, how many know you are of another spirit when you know him and have a relationship with him? Okay? See, you don't have to have the Hammond organ piping. You don't have to have the guitars going. When you know God, how many know you're your own music sometimes, you and God? I like what Pastor Terry was sharing last week about the piano, you know, how that the call and the purpose. See, you got to understand that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Amen. We are a peculiar people so that we will show forth the praises of God. Do you realize, as he was talking about that, and as I begin to read the scripture, do you not know God called us his instrument? He want to play us before the world. Why? Because it gets their attention. What is they playing over there? All this stuff going on, and these jokers still smiling and having a good time because we know God. We know our God. Okay? Now, I want you to go to St. John. Well, let's just go to St. John. I want to read you the scripture here, and then we're going to go to the book of Philippians, and then we're going to try to wrap it up, okay? All right. In John, St. John 8 and verse 31, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You are truly disciples of mine. And you will know what? The truth. You will experience truth. See, what God has been dealing with me about is this. John, quit calling me a it. I'm a person. It's this or that. No, he's a person. See, when we make him out to be who he really is, he is a person that has been revealed to us through Christ. And even Christ said that, I will give you another helper. What he was saying, I'm going to give you one just like me, that he's going to be with you forever. But he's not a it, he's a person. And when we begin to align ourselves with him as a person, we're not just having a religious experience. Amen. We're not having religious experience. We are having a spirit-to-spirit experience. Why? Because he is a spirit, but he's a person. Amen. And he wants to reveal the Father to us in ways that we would never know if he don't reveal him to us. So what we have to understand, our relationship is based on what? Truth. Because Jesus said, you will know the truth. Otherwise, you will experience the truth. See, we got to understand, in everyday life, I can experience God. In everyday life. In my disappointments, I'm learning that God don't abandon me just because I go through something. But what God does when I go through something, he teaches me and he develops his character within me. See, and that's what the enemy don't understand fully, that when he begins to mess with us and take us through stuff, what God is doing is developing us more like him so that we don't respond in the flesh, but we respond in the spirit. Now we are spirit beings having a human experience. You say, well, how does that work? Okay, you have a spirit, but you have experience in this human flesh. And what God wants to do is to give you an experience of him. He's going to prove himself strong on our behalf. Whatever I go through, whatever I face in life, God is going to prove himself strong. God is going to prove to me, God, I'm a faithful God. I'm a good God. I'm a loving God. I'm a kind God. See, when we miss it and mess up, God don't just I'm through with them. No, God just pursue us even more. His love is coming after us. See, and that's the reality that we have to grow to and begin to understand that God is not against us. He is for us, and all he want to do is have relationship. See, he want to have a relationship. He want us to experience him. What better way to experience God when you're going through something and God shows up and tap on your heart? It ain't over. That heartbeat, it ain't over. You know, because when we go through things, I'm telling you, when I went through COVID, I thought, well, this is it. I did. I thought, well, this is it. But then I get a song. I speak the name of Jesus over you. All of a sudden, hope arise. Faith arise. What am I doing? I'm experiencing the God that created me through a song that reminds me I'm not through with you yet, John. It's not over for you. It's not over for you. I still have a plan, and that plan is going to come to pass. I can't explain why some die, some don't. I don't have knowledge of that. All I know is he's a good God, and he's a faithful God, and he's a real God. Do you not know this is the only thing that when Moses said this, he said, now, if your presence don't go, don't send us. You know what Moses was really saying? God, if you don't go, I don't want to go. Because he knows if God go, everything going to be all right. I'm going to have a pillar of fire by night. I'm going to have a cloud by day. I'm going to have manna coming up to feed me. Why? Because that's my God. But how many know Moses had to experience God to come to that place of confidence in God? But when we don't experience God, it's almost like it's just words on a page. But God said, I don't want you to just know the words on the page. I want you to know the author of the book. I want you to know me. And Jesus said, you will know the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth, you will experience this truth, and this truth is what's making you free. See, when I experience Jesus, I'm not just going through a feeling, but he's setting me free of John. He really is. He's changing my character to his character. I'm becoming more like him. It's his faith. It's his love. It's his joy. It's not mine, but it's his, but he's sharing it with me so that I will be known as I know. Hallelujah. So that gnosko word, what it means is to know by experience. And when Jesus said, I want you to know the truth, I want you to experience me. Jesus, even when his father, when he began to tell them this, see, the reason I know it wasn't a religion, because when he began to tell them that you will know the truth and you will be free, immediately they said, we have Abraham. We have Abraham. Listen what Jesus' reply was. They answered him, we have Abraham. We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Amen? I know you are Abraham's descendant. You seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you have heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. So what's going on here? They're having dialogue here. So what Jesus is really telling them, if you were really of Abraham, you would know who I am. You would really love me. Okay? Watch what Jesus tells them. I mean, this is so good, I tell you. He said, you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak these things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you have heard from your father. They answered and said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were the children of Abraham, do the deeds of Abraham. What did Abraham do? Abraham believed God. Abraham had faith in God. Abraham knew Jehovah Jireh. Abraham knew that he was a provider. But these guys right here, I mean, they know that what he's dealing with is the religious crowd. That they might be descendants of Abraham, but they did not have an experience or an encounter with God. Why? Because what God is sending to them, they are rejecting. Listen, but as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I hear from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. How many know we see this in this day and time that people are trying to bring God down to their level? But see, if they really knew God, they would quit slaughtering babies. They would quit doing the things that are ungodly. They would quit doing those things if they really knew God. All the stuff that's going on in the world that they're trying to push down the church's throat and the people that are standing upright, if they really knew God, they would understand we must stand for God. See, we got on our money and God we trust, but I wonder what God is they trusting. It ain't our God. It ain't the true and living God. See, because God has a standard and God has order. God is not up there. God is not somewhere confused trying to figure this thing out. God has already figured it out and give it to us. Amen. But what happens a lot of time is they don't know God. And people think because they mention the word God, they know him. But they might know of him, but they don't have a relationship with him. Because when you have a relationship with him, you stand for what God stands for. You love what God loves. You hate what God hates. Amen? And what Jesus was running into here is that this is a religious crowd trying to really kill him, not knowing that they're doing the deeds of Satan. Let's read a little further, okay? Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. Do you realize that the church, we don't have room for racism? Why? Because we are born of God. See, John said it this way, how can you say you love God and hate the one you see? God is not in that. God is not. God, let me tell you something. What John was saying, how can you say you love God and you hate your brother? I'm over here against Brother Billy. How can I say I love God if I'm mistreating Billy? God forbid. I'm a liar. Oh, okay. That's not the truth. But when I say I love God, that's the way I love Billy. See, and that's what John was saying is that this is a way that you know how you know that you love God is the way you treat each other. When we treat each other with respect, when we treat each other with love, that's God coming out of us. Amen? And what we have to understand is these guys saying, he said, look, if you love God, let me find my place here. Okay. If you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. I mean, you know, it's the devil that wants to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's his nature. It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desire of your father. What is the desire of the enemy? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. To cause us to be at each other. See, that's his job, to get us divided. That's his job. But our job is to take a stand. Why? Because we know God. We have a relationship with Almighty God, the God that created the moon and the stars and put them in place. We have a relationship with him. A genuine relationship with God will transform us into his image. See, and that's what he's saying here. That you would know the truth, but he ran up against what? The religious crowd that's trying to say, we ain't in bondage to nobody. How many know that's the way the world is trying to tell us nowadays? You know, we're trying to tell them, look, God can save you. God can deliver you. I ain't in bondage. I'm free. Huh? No, you ain't free because Jesus didn't set you free. How many know he's the only one that can set us free? See, the blood of Jesus Christ is the only blood that can white out sin. I don't care how you try to fix it up. I don't care how you try to make it up. Until we come in contact with him, we're going to remain the same. Why? Because it is the blood of Jesus that will do away with sin. That's why he shedded his blood. Why? See, that blood still has the same power that it did 2,000 years ago. Amen? That blood is still wet. Why? Because it's a living blood. You can't kill it. Paul said this. He said, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Let me just talk to you for a minute right there. Had the devil really known who Jesus really, 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 what his plan was and what he was doing, he would have left Jesus alone. He would have left him alone. You said, no, he wouldn't have, no. What you mean left him alone? Do you realize until Jesus went to that cross and got nailed to that cross, went in the grave, and resurrected, do you not know, had he never did that, our salvation would not be consummated? Why? But because he went in the grave, he died in our place. He went to hell in our place. But when he resurrected, he said, all power is in my hand. Amen? Now what the devil has really did, he has released life for every human being. Why? Because Jesus said, I come to give you life and it more abundantly. And that life is the good life. It's not houses, cars, and fame, but it is a life of peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Amen. But did you understand the relationship that Jesus paid for us to have, not religion. See, religion is coming to church, going through the motions, and going back empty. But when you have a relationship, you go and be fed, and your spirit is what? Energized. He's built up. See, but religion keeps you going through the motions. These old aerobics, you know, hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. And all these things that we do, religious acts, and then we go out the door and defeat it. But when you have a relationship, it's like what Daniel said, they that know their God. They that have experienced God know that it ain't the end just because you're on the sick bed. Amen. Know that it ain't the end when you ain't got money to put together. Amen. They know it's not the end. Why? Because my God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can imagine or think, according to the power that works on the inside of me. Amen. He's not out there on the sword. Oh, Lord Jesus. He's on the inside of me. He's walking with me. He's talking with me. Amen. And he's telling me I'm his own. Amen. There's nowhere I can go from the love of God. Why? Because God loved me regardless of what I do. Amen. Regardless of what I say. God has already sealed it. I love you with an everlasting love, John. Now, if you want to act crazy and don't accept it, it's on you, John. But I want to accept it. I want to receive it. Why? Because I know him. I have experienced him. He's not a God in some kind of frame, amen, that I look to. Amen. He's a genuine living proof, amen. A God that has been proven that I am God. Amen. If he split the Red Sea, guess what? He'll do it for us. But we're living in another dispensation. We don't need the Red Sea split it. Now we need something else split it. And that's man's opinion. We need to split it. I want God's opinion. I want to know what God say about me. I want to know, amen. I want to know him. Do you not know? I got to close. But do you not know that when Paul said, oh, that I might know him, is the same word, genisco, is the same word that Paul was using. I want to experience him. Why? I want to comprehend him. I want the revelation of him. I want the realness of him. That whatever I go through, I know he's there. I want to experience God in such a way that I am so persuaded that whatever I go through, I might be crazy going through it, but I know God has got an end result and it's better than what I am right now. Why? Because God is about changing us into his image and into his likeness. We're taking on his character. Amen? It's his faith. It's his grace. It's his righteousness. Paul said, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness. Amen. Why? Because Paul knew his righteousness was like filthy rags. But I want that righteousness which come by faith. Amen. When I believe in God. Amen. When I trust God. When I love God. When I fellowship with God. When I talk to him. Paul is saying, I want to dialogue with him. I want to know him. And it's the same word. I want to experience this God. Have you ever heard a song sung and all of a sudden you go away and that song stay with you through the night? Do you realize what God is doing? He's singing over you. He's wanting to manifest himself to you. See, don't take those little nudges. Sometimes we almost like Elijah was. We think it's coming in the world. It's coming in an earthquake. You know, wasn't that? But the still small voice, God spoke to him and got his attention with a whisper. And Elijah was strengthened in the Lord. See, and that's what Paul is saying. I want to know him. See, I count everything that I've learned. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. I persecuted the church. Before his conversion, he knew about God. But when he got converted, he knew who God was. Amen. He didn't just know about him, but now I know him. I know Elohim. I know Jehovah Jireh. I know Jesus Christ. That's the one I was persecuting. Amen. But now that I know him, how many know Paul said, I'll give it all up just for the sake of knowing him. And Paul said, I want to know him. And that's what God wants us to do. See, he's not withholding it from us. Well, how am I going to get to know him? The Bible said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. He said, if you'll seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. See, God ain't trying to withhold it, but he said, seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open. Ask, and it shall be given. See, God has always given us the invitation to come to him. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may have what? That you may obtain favor or find help in the time of trouble. See, God is inviting us in. He said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, burdened down. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And you will find rest for your soul, mind, will, and emotion. See, all God is saying, come to me. Come to me. I want to have a relationship with you. See, I want to have such a relationship with you to where you experience me in such a way that the devil himself can't make you doubt it. Amen? And that's what God wants from every one of us, is a relationship. But if we try to conjure it up through religion, how many know we just get frustrated? We get irritated. And we get aggravated. Why? Because nothing has happened. You say, well, what if I go in this relationship with something really happened? Try it and see. Then come back and tell me. Why? Because God is not a liar. He's not a liar. And all God is wanting is a relationship with his humanity, with his people. See, and the way you do that, Jesus said, no one can come to the Father but through me. See. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but through me. How many know Jesus is the door to the Father? Not Muhammad. Not Buddha. Not America. Because we think sometimes, well, I'm an American, I already know God. No, that's because you in America don't make you know God. It's like a cat born in an oven don't make its biscuits, but you know what I'm saying? So you got to understand, to know God, there must be relationship. Amen? And I know that people say, well, you know, that ain't so great. But I'm telling you, we can know him. And that's what Paul was saying. There are two words that I shared with you today. Odami, which means to have knowledge of. But what's the other word? He's listening. I couldn't pronounce it. That's why I had to ask. Gnosko. What it means is to know by experience, to establish relationship. And Brother Eddie, you just had an experience of God raising your brother up from his sick bed. Amen? And guess what? He shared it with us today. Guess what that does? It builds faith in us that God is still at work. He's not dead, but he's alive. Amen? I'm going to stop right there on that note, okay? Y'all said that. When preachers start saying that, they got about, no. Is there anybody here today that do not know Jesus Christ? Anybody? You do not know Jesus Christ. Well, see, You can't have a relationship with him if you don't know Christ. That's the door that you come through. But because you're not saying you need Christ, how many of you guys in here know Jesus? Okay. Now that you know Jesus, spend some time with him. Get to know him. See, he's not trying to get you to spend time with him to beat you down. He want to build you up. See, he said, I come that you might have life. And not only life, but abundant life. The high life that's in Christ Jesus. That life that will bring peace and joy in a difficult situation. You know, and I'll share this with you in closing. There are times that I don't feel God, but I know God. See, it used to be if I didn't feel him, well, what's going on? Am I really saved? But I've grown in the knowledge of God to know it's not a feeling, John. Sometimes God will let you feel him so much to where you get to depending on that feeling. He'll say, okay, I got to quit this. Now you got to walk this out. Amen? There are times that God will allow us to feel him like we never felt him before. And all he's doing is refreshing us. See, sometimes you'll feel him and sometimes you don't. But see, just because you don't feel him, don't quit. Look at your neighbor and say, don't quit if you don't feel him. Because it's a faith walk. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. How many know faith is nothing tangible? It's what I believe. It's what I've been convinced. I've been convicted that this God is not just a God on the page, but he would do just what he says. The reality of walking with him and talking with him, praying with him, loving him, spending time with him in his presence is no time wasted. It is not wasted when you spend time with him. It will do you good, not harm. Amen? Father, we thank you today, Lord, that we have the honor and privilege of knowing you. So, Father, we pray that the words that we share today will minister to your people, Lord. God, I pray that your word declares that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Lord, I thank you and I stand on that word, Father. And, God, as we depart from this place, but never your presence, Lord, watch over us and protect us. God, reveal yourself to us even in deeper ways, Lord. God, that we will be so persuaded, God, that we will be like the early church, God, that when we go through, we'll count it all joy, Lord. For we know, God, that you're working off all the excess things that doesn't belong, Father. And God, we thank you for renewing us in our strength, in our faith, in our walk with you, Lord. And God, we pray your blessing over your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.